The Outsiders, Chapter 4, Part 2, bottom of page 58. Buck answered the door when we knocked, and a roar of cheap music came with him. The clinking of glasses, loud, rough laughter, and female giggles, and Hank Williams. It scraped on my raw nerves like sandpaper. A can of beer in one hand, Buck glared down at us. "What do you want?" "Dally," Johnny gulped, looking back over his shoulder. "We gotta see Dally." "He's busy," Buck snapped, and someone in his living room yelled, "Aha!" And then, "Yee-haw!" And the sound of it almost made my nerves snap. "Tell him it's Pony and Johnny," I commanded. I knew Buck, and the only way you could get anything from him was to bully him. I guess that's why Dallas could handle him so easily, although Buck was in his mid-20s and Dally was 17. "He'll come." Buck glared at me for a second, then stumbled off. He was pretty well crocked, which made me apprehensive. If Dally was drunk and in a dangerous mood... He appeared in a few minutes, clad only in a pair of low-cut blue jeans, scratching the hair on his chest. He was sober enough, and that surprised me. Maybe he hadn't been there long. "Okay, kids, what do you need me for?" As Johnny told the story, I studied Dally, trying to figure out what there was about this tough-looking hood that a girl like Cherry Valance could love. Toe-headed and shifty-eyed, Dally was anything but handsome. Yet in his hard face there was character, pride, and a savage defiance of the world. He could never love Cherry Valance back. It would be a miracle if Dally loved anything. The fight for self-preservation had hardened him behind caring, beyond caring. He didn't bat an eye when Johnny told him what had happened, only grinned and said, "Good for you," when Johnny told how he had knifed the Soche. Finally, Johnny finished. "We figured you could get us out if anyone could. I'm sorry we got you away from the party." "Ah, shoot, kid," Dally glanced contemptuously over his shoulder. "I was in the bedroom." He suddenly stared at me. "Glory, but your ears can get red, Pony Boy." I was remembering what usually went on in the bedrooms at Buck's parties. Then Dally grinned in amused realization. "It wasn't anything like that, kid. I was asleep, or trying to be, with all this racket." "Hank Williams?" He rolled his eyes and added a few adjectives after Hank Williams. "Me and Shepard had a run-in, and I cracked some ribs. I just needed a place to lay over." He rubbed his side ruefully. "Old Tim sure can pack a punch. He won't be able to see out of one eye for a week." He looked us over and sighed. "Well, wait a second. I'll see what I can do about this mess." Then he took a good look at me. "Pony Boy, are you wet?"
"Yes,"
I stammered through chattering teeth.
"Glory, hallelujah."
He opened the screen door and pulled me in, motioning for Johnny to follow.
"You'll die of pneumonia before the cops ever get you."
He half dragged me into an empty bedroom, swearing at me all the way. "Get that sweatshirt off." He threw a towel at me. "Dry off and wait here. At least Johnny's got his jeans jacket. You ought to know better than to run away in just a sweatshirt, and a wet one at that. Don't you ever use your head." He sounded so much like Terry that I stared at him. He didn't notice and left us sitting on the bed. Johnny lay back on it. "Wish I had me a weed." My knees were shaking as I finished drying off, sitting there in my jeans. Dally appeared after a minute. He carefully shut the door. "Here." He handed us a gun and a roll of bills. "The gun's loaded."
"For Pete's sake, Johnny, don't point the thing at me."
"Here's $50. That's all I could get out of Merrill tonight. He's blowing his loot from that last race." You might have thought it was Dally who fixed those races for Buck, being a jockey and all, but it wasn't. The last guy to suggest it lost 3 teeth. It's the truth. Dally rode the ponies honestly and did his best to win. It was the only thing Dally did honestly. "Pony, did Dairy and Soda Pop know about this?" I shook my head. Dally sighed.
"Boy, howdy. I ain't itching to be the one to tell Dairy and get my head busted."
"Then don't tell him," I said. I hated to worry Soda Pop, and I would have liked to let him know I had gotten this far okay, but I didn't care if Derry worried himself gray-headed. I was too tired to tell myself I was being mean and unreasonable. I convinced myself it wouldn't be fair to make Dally tell him. Derry would beat him to death for giving us the money and the gun and getting us out of town. Here. Dally handed me a shirt about 60 million sizes too big. It's Buck's. You and him ain't exactly the same size, but it's dry. He handed me his worn brown leather jacket with the yellow sheep's wool lining. It'll get cold where you're going, but you can't risk being loaded down with blankets. I started buttoning up the shirt, and it about swallowed me. Hop the 3:15 freight to Windricksville, Dally instructed. There's an old abandoned church on top of Jay Mountain. There's a pump in back, so don't worry about water. Buy a week's supply of food as soon as you get there, this morning, before the story gets out. And then don't so much as stick your noses out the door. I'll be up there as soon as I think it's clear. Man, I thought New York was the only place I could get mixed up in a murder rap. At the word murder, Johnny made a small noise in his throat and shuddered. Dally walked us back to the door, turning off the porch light before we stepped out. Get going. He messed up Johnny's hair. Take care, kid, he said softly. Sure, Dally, thanks. And we ran into the darkness. We crouched in the weeds beside the railroad tracks, listening to the whistle grow louder. The train slowed to a screaming halt. Now, whispered Johnny. We ran and pulled ourselves into an open boxcar. We pressed against the side, trying to hold our breath while we listened to the railroad workers walk up and down outside. One poked his head inside and we froze, but he didn't see us, and the boxcar rattled as the train started up. The first stop will be Windricksville, Johnny said, laying the gun down gingerly. He shook his head. I don't see why you gave me this. I couldn't shoot anybody. Then, for the first time, really, I realized that we were in what we were in for. Johnny had killed someone. Quiet, soft-spoken little Johnny, who wouldn't hurt a living thing on purpose, had taken a human life. We were really running away, with the police after us for murder and a loaded gun by our side. I wish we'd asked Dally for a pack of cigarettes. I stretched out and used Johnny's legs for a pillow. Curling up, I was thankful for Dally's jacket. It was too big, but it was warm. Not even the rattling of the train could keep me awake, and I went to sleep in a hoodlum's jacket with a gun lying next to my hand.